Ever find yourself just completely lost in a movie? You know, laughing, crying, maybe jumping out of your seat?
Oh, absolutely. It's that feeling of being totally transported.
Well, it turns out there's some really fascinating science behind that. We've been looking into it using sources like the Cinematic Leap into Cognitions and Emotions blog series.
And some key research papers. It's clear movies have this powerful grip on our thoughts and feelings.
It's definitely a common experience being moved like that. And the research, you know, people like Greenwood and Long, Gross and Levinson, they back this up. Movies are incredibly good at sparking
They
emotions.
really are.
Yeah.
What we're digging into today is the why, the psychological stuff happening underneath.
Exactly. Which brings us to these cool terms like psychocinematics
Oh.
and neurocinematics. The Davenport Psychology blog mentions these, drawing on Shimamura's work from 2013.
Right. It's all about that interplay between the film itself and, well, our brains.
And filmmakers, they've kind of known this instinctively for ages, haven't they? Using montage, editing, those big close-ups.
Masters of manipulation, in a good way. They use these techniques to grab our attention, stir things up emotionally. And now, science is catching up, trying to figure out how it all works cognitively. That Hassan study from 2008 is a great example.
Okay, let's get into that. Your brain at the movies. It's pretty wild that we can literally watch brain activity with fMRI while someone's watching a film.
It is incredible. And those scans show it's not just one part of the brain working, it's like a whole orchestra. Vision, memory, language, emotions, even decision-making circuits, they all light up.
You get so immersed, don't you? It feels like the movies world is the only one that exists for a bit.
Totally. And the idea is to really follow a story, your whole brain kind of needs to get involved.
So that leads us to neurocinematics. You mentioned Hassan.
Yeah, Uri Hassan and his colleagues,
Yeah.
they were interested in like how synchronized our brains become when we watch the same thing. They developed this measure called intersubject correlation, or ISC.
ISC. Okay, so how did they measure that? The blog describes this specific study.
Right, the 2008 one, they had people watch four really different video clips in an fMRI scanner. It was quite clever.
What were the clips?
Okay, so there's an old Alfred Hitchcock TV episode, bang, you're dead, very suspenseful.
Classic Hitchcock.
Then the first half hour of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, that iconic Western opening.
Leone, yeah, different vibe.
Very different than an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, more unpredictable, unscripted humor.
Okay.
And finally, just raw footage, a single take of people walking around Washington Square Park. No editing, no story, just observation.
And the results for brain synchronization, the ISC, were pretty different across these.
Hugely different. With the Hitchcock episode, bang, you're dead. They found over 65% of the cortex was showing similar activity patterns across all the viewers. Really high synchronization.
Wow, 65%.
Yeah. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly was still strong, around 45%.
Still pretty high.
But Curb Your Enthusiasm, that dropped way down to 18%.
Huh, interesting.
And the Washington Square Park clip, the really unstructured one, less than 5%. Barely any synchronization at all.
So it's definitely not just about watching something move on screen. What does that tell us?
Well, it strongly suggests that how a film is constructed makes a massive difference in how collectively we process it neurologically.
So the director's choices, the editing, the storytelling.
Exactly. That raw park footage lacked, directorial guidance.
Yeah.
Hassan's team talked about aesthetic control, the more deliberate control the filmmaker
The
exerted.
more aligned people's brains became.
Precisely. Hitchcock, being the master of control and suspense, basically got everyone's brains ticking in much the same way across lots of different regions simultaneously. It's less about just seeing and hearing and more about being guided through an experience.
That's actually incredible. It implies filmmakers can literally shape a shared neural reality.
It's a powerful idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it has big implications for film theory, for filmmakers thinking about their craft.
And it really highlights Hitchcock's skill with bang, you're dead. That visual language he used, building that tension. It wasn't just a story, it was like he was playing the audience's brains like an instrument.
That's a great way to put it. He engineered a specific shared cognitive and emotional response.
Okay, so that covers how filmmakers can guide our overall brain activity. But the Davenport Psychology series also goes deeper into the emotional side, mentioning the limbic system.
Right, shifting focus slightly to the neurology of feeling when we watch movies. They bring up Paul MacLean's limbic system theory. It's an older model from the 50s.
And still debated in the details, I gather.
Oh, yeah, neuroscience is always evolving. But the core idea holds that there's a network of brain structures heavily involved in emotion.
And the main parts are hippocampus, hypothalamus, amygdala, and thalamus. The blog mentions the sort of horseshoe shape you can see on fMRI.
That's right. And understanding these helps us think about how we experience emotions, how we might suppress them or regulate them while watching something intense. The amygdala, for instance, is often linked to detecting threats or emotionally salient stuff.
Like a jump scare, maybe?
Could be, yeah. Or just a really tense moment.
So how do we know these areas are active during movies? Was there another study mentioned?
There was, a 2011 study by Krama, Armony, and Beauregard. They also used fMRI, this time showing male participants film clips designed to evoke specific emotions.
Okay, what kind of emotions?
They aimed for disgust, using scenes of mutilation,
ooh,
amusement from comedy films, and sexual arousal, using clips of male-female interactions. And they had a neutral baseline just watching someone do carpentry.
Right, something mundane. And what did they find?
They found that, compared to the neutral carpentry clips, all the emotional conditions, disgust, amusement, arousal, showed increased activation in a network, including those limbic areas, but also some cortical regions.
So it wasn't like one disgust spot lit up and a different amusement spot. It was more spread out, more networked.
Exactly. It supports the idea that the limbic system is part of a broader network involved in processing these emotional and visual stimuli. It's not just feeling the emotion, but also probably regulating it, paying attention to it.
And the researchers thought this might open doors for studying attention, like how emotional scenes grab us.
Yeah, that was one implication. How our brains prioritize emotionally loaded information in a film.
It all comes back to understanding these pathways to really get how movies can make us feel so much, you know, suspense, joy, sadness, fear, sheer wonder.
It's quite the range, isn't it? And it speaks to the power of film as an art form that plugs directly into these deep emotional circuits.
So wrapping this up, what are the big takeaways from this neuroscience perspective on movies?
Well, I think the first is that watching a movie is anything but passive. Our brains are incredibly active, engaging multiple systems.
Right. And second, the way a film is made, the director's techniques, the editing, the narrative structure can actually lead to remarkable synchronization in brain activity across viewers.
That shared experience, yeah. And third, the limbic system is clearly central to the emotional roller coaster movies can take us on, with different emotional content triggering distinct patterns of activity within this network.
It's a complex picture, but we're starting to understand the pieces.
Definitely. And as the source material hints, this isn't the end of the story. There's more to explore about, say, the social effects of film, or even using film in therapy.
Which leaves us with a final thought for you, the listener. We've seen that different films engage our brains and emotions to different degrees. So what might that variation tell us about the specific stories you connect with most deeply? Why do certain films resonate so powerfully on a personal, maybe even neurological level?
Yeah, that's something interesting to chew on next time you're watching a movie. What is it about that story, that scene, that's really getting your brain buzzing?